we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Fear. We cannot escape fear. Fear can follow us anywhere we go. You may fear danger, illness, death, or even being alone in the dark. But there are worse things.
Imagine horrible nightmare creatures from the bowels of hell with sharp talons and horrible pointy faces. They swoop in the trees all around us, waiting for a moment to attack.
Shakia has a phobia that a lot of people might have. You do not like our fine feathered creatures. There is only one way to handle this. You must confront your fear. Bring out the little boy.
When it comes to your fears, you're never alone.
Everybody, clap your hands. You enjoy that? All right. Welcome to Redemption Church. There's a lot of ways to describe Redemption Church. Here's one way. We don't take ourselves too seriously, right? We're liable to put on makeup and go out to a cemetery and be weirdos. All right. Welcome to October at Redemption Church. I'm excited about that. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm the lead pastor here. And I invite you this month to face your fears. Look at somebody. Say, face your fears. Face your fears. Real quick, shout out, my Aunt Frances is here. Everybody give my Aunt Frances a hand. Yay! Clap. I love you, Aunt Frances. I'm so glad you're here. Everyone has at least at one time or another been afraid of something. You agree, right? Maddie, is that right? Babadook? All right. If we are honest, there are things in our life right now that actually scare us. We have to be honest to admit that, though. There are world situations that make our hair stand up on the back of our neck. Realities are scary enough, right? Oh, yeah, realities are scary. But we often are afraid of just possibilities. We have laid awake at night and just thought, what if? What might be? What if I get cancer? Have you spent time worrying about that one? Have you ever had fear? My family has a history of dying of this terrible disease, so I am worried that maybe I could get this terrible disease. What if I fail? I'm trying to do something really good, something really big in life, but you know what? The fear of failure, it's a big thing. What if I fail? What are people going to say about me if I fail? What are my children going to think about me if I don't succeed at this? Are they going to just laugh at me? Are they going to feel sorry for me? That's a fear people just don't want. So what do? They don't do anything. What if my spouse falls out of love with me? Man, this is an all too real fear in the day and age that we're living in. Now, the church, you know, we don't talk about divorce and stuff, but no, we ought to. It's a real fear in people's hearts. There are a lot of people, there's a whole generation of people that they have never settled down with somebody because they're afraid that that person is not going to be faithful to them, right? They'll never get to that commitment level. What if my children get into trouble? I'm constantly living this one right now. I lived it about, I don't know, 5 minutes ago. Like, I'm hoping they're okay in the nursery right now, all right? There are so many negative possibilities, it can be a little scary, and it's okay to admit it. I don't know a single person that's not worried about the presidential elections. Can I get an amen? I don't know anybody that's not worried about that right now, right? There are reasons all around us to be scared. All right. But what if in this life we're living, what if we were a little less afraid? What if we conquered our fears? What would that be like? What would life be like if at the end of this sermon series, you were braver? What would life be like if you were just a little bit more courageous to go do that thing that's in your heart? What if you just had the guts to, you know, go ahead and walk up and ask that girl out on a date? Right? What if at the end of this October, you had that confidence inside of you? What if you stopped letting fear control your life? This is what we want to see happen at the end of this month for every person. We want to see this happen for all of your lives. So please join us for all 5 weeks of this series. This is week one. Real quick, because I like scary movies, has anyone ever seen a scary movie? Pauly Shore movies actually do not count. All right. I'm a 90s kid. That is such a 90s reference. I apologize. We want to know what movies you find scary. So pull out your smartphones all over the place. Right now, you can pull out your phone in church. It's all right. Go ahead and pull it out. We have an anonymous text line. I want you to text in your scary movie, 214-856-0550. I'm always interested in hearing what Jonathan Upchurch's scary movie is. All right? Go ahead. Excellent. I referenced Babadook earlier. Go check that out on Netflix. It's a weird one. All right. We can learn a lot from scary movies. We can. You didn't know this? Well, let's see if you can follow me here. All right. So in the movie, the huge xenomorph alien with sharp teeth. And those sharp teeth are inside a second mouth full of sharp teeth. And they just like... two mouths at once, it eats you twice as fast. And it has acid for blood. And this huge xenomorph alien has positioned itself where in relation to the defenseless and clueless female astronaut? Where in relationship does he sneak up? What does he do? Hides in the tubes. No, he sneaks up behind her, and then she's donezo, right? Yeah. Donezo, done. Behind her, you're like, you are looking at the screen going, turn around, lady. Turn around, there's an alien on the ship. You ought to be more aware, right? We do this, right? How about this one? In the movie, the masked, psychotic, hockey-playing killer with a sharp machete has positioned himself where in relationship to the two clueless counselors that are madly in love? Behind them. Y'all see where we're going here? And you're looking like, gosh, I know. If those kids would just stop making out for a moment, they would know that Jason Voorhees is going to impale them both in one fatal swoop. Right. Y'all don't have to amen me. I know it's the truth. All right. In the movie, our strong female lead has run for her life. Frantically running, she may have twisted her ankle, right? In cliche, right? And she ends up running into a room in a house, and she closes the door, and she leans on that door, and she's like, oh, I've made it. But where in relation to her right now is the large oozing blob? Where is he? Behind her. And she turns around in just enough time for us all to see her get completely devoured by the alien substance. Right?
All right.
You following me? You see, these movies, they all make us yell, turn around, it's behind you. Look out. You ever watch movies with somebody like that? They're going to talk to that person. I like that character. I don't want that character to die. You know, the throwing popcorn, everything. From our viewpoint, we clearly see the danger. It's positioned behind them. It's positioned right where they can't see them. They've walked right past that doorway, and we saw for a glimpse. We saw the villain. We saw the danger. We saw the killer. We saw their future demise, and we're like, whoa, if we could only do something. Man, we see that in movies much better than we see it in our own lives. And the villain, the creature, the killer, the xenomorph alien, he's always behind us, I want you to say behind us. The first thing you need to learn about fear is that it always positions itself. Fear has a position. Fear always positions itself behind you. Everybody look behind you. Oh my goodness. Somebody looked at Sean and screamed. All right. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter how fast you run, the slow-moving Michael Myers is right behind you. That always just drove me crazy. Right? You got Jamie Lee Curtis. She is just frantic, running, screaming the whole time. And then Michael Myers is just like... And then you see another screenshot. He's right there. He's like always right behind her, no matter how fast she runs. Okay, how about this cliche? And they finally get to the car. It looks like we've survived. We've opened the car. We put the keys in this. We started it. We start to drive, and it's time for the movie to end, and all the happy music plays, and what happens? The killer's in the back seat. They didn't check the back seat. The killer was right behind them. Boys and girls, y'all are smart. Y'all are good at this. How about this? This is in every movie. Somebody yells, run! Velociraptors, run! Werewolves, run! Fast-moving zombies, run! And we're just running, right? Why? Why are you running? Because behind you is danger, the killer, the bad thing. Just when we think we are safe, it is revealed often that the killer is right inside the house. Right inside the house with us. Oddly enough, they just happen to be right behind you. And about the time you get the news, you pick up the phone. Oh, what? You've traced the call, and the call was coming from inside the house, and the killer must be inside the house. Well, thank you, officer. That's the sound of you dying right then. All right, that's exactly when that happens. In fact, the movie, ghost movies like Poltergeist, right? They're in a haunted house. And so, well, we got to get out of this thing. It's built on an alien graveyard, Indian graveyard. No offense against Indians or aliens either. So they move, and they're like, they're gone from that house. Guess what? They're here. They're right there also. They followed them. They're always behind them wherever you go. Fear always positions itself. Fear has a position for you, and it's usually right outside of your field of vision. It's right behind you. It's right when you least expect it, and it's always lurking, and it's always haunting. Usually, you never see fear, but you sure do feel it. Have you ever felt like, man, there's something behind me? There's someone behind me? I remember taking out the trash at night. That one time I did it. I'm sorry, Sarah. I'll do a better job. So I leave the house, right? I walk in the backyard. I walk out the gate. I walk up to the dumpster. I throw the trash in. Everything is perfectly fine. It's a little dark, but it's perfectly fine. I turn around. The moment I turned around, I was keenly aware that there is some vicious predator behind me. All right, so what do I do? Well, let's walk slowly, because I know the vicious predator there is there, but I don't want to tip him off that I know that he's there. We're not talking an 8-year-old here. We're talking a 36-year-old man. All right, so we're walking, but you know what? I think I hear them. I could have sworn I heard nails on the concrete. So let's, let's mall jog it a little bit. Let's go a little faster, right? And by the time my mind is like going crazy, I'm like running. It's like a full sprint. It should have been the Olympic finals right there. I get all the way back to the house. I turn around, I open the door, I turn around, I close it, and then I'm like, whew, just getting exercise, babe. This is nothing. Happens, all right. You have this feeling. You don't have any proof that it's there, but you feel that it's there. You don't know that it's there. You're worried that there's probably something out to get you. Am I talking to you today? Is that anywhere where you're living today? Fear has this way of showing up behind us. It doesn't have to make sense, but it just shows up, and it's always behind us. Fear never walks up and introduces itself as, hi, I'm the thing that you're most afraid of. No, it is under your bed, and as a kid, you just knew you could not step off the bed too close to the edge, or else that thing would reach out and grab you, right? All right. Your parents never found it, but it was there. You just know it was. Cancer, You might be living with a fear that you will get cancer. Many cancer survivors live with the fear that cancer is going to come back. And that's really cruel. They've been healed of cancer. They've been cleared of cancer. And yet they live out most of their days afraid that, man, it could be coming back. Man, robbing them of their peace. You see that? So there is this fear. And where is it? It's positioned right behind them. No proof of it yet, but they're just worried that one day it's going to show up. How about past mistakes, right? Those position themselves behind us, right? Those lurk in the shadows. You might be haunted by something you did. You might be haunted by something you did not do. You fear others may come to know this knowledge. That's one of the worst things, right? It's bad enough that I know it, but man, what if Pamela knew this thing about me? What if Linus knew this thing about me? That is a frightening thought. There are people that have ended relationships based on that idea right there. There are people that have not talked. They've not opened up ever a bit because they were worried about that coming to pass. That fear was right behind them of their past mistakes. Events that are decades old, they're still fresh to you because that's fear. They are just as damaging to you even though it's been months. You could have had something physical done to you, but what's happening to you today, it's not physical, but it's emotional, it's mental, it's spiritual. It's killing you from the inside out. It is just as damaging as that day that physical thing was done to you. And those things, they're with you all the time. They're always right there behind you. How about failure? The fear of failure holds so many people back. You want to start that business idea. That is awesome. If you got a business idea in this church, you go do it. All right? Let me just talk to you right now. You go do it. You're good enough. You're smart enough. You got the wits. You got the willpower. You got God's on your side. Go do it. But you know what? When you got this fear behind you, you got this fear of failure. You want to start that idea, but you want to achieve something. You would like to try something out. But there is this fear of failure that keeps most people from ever even starting. Well, you know, I need to do this, but I need to go back to school. And, you know, I probably wouldn't do good in school. So there goes that idea. There goes a complete destiny right there. There goes a complete future that could have been really cool. But somebody's fear of failure kept them from it. Perception. That leads us to perception. What do other people think? I want to tell you real quick, what other people think is scarier than any predator alien. It is scarier than any one of those wicked, crazy clowns that keep showing up everywhere. What is up with that? Pray, church. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's like these killer clowns that keep showing up everywhere and scaring people. Jeremy, where have you been? I'm just kidding. All right. It was Jeremy the whole time. You see, you got this perception. You look behind you sometimes just to see if anybody's looking at you. And if no one's looking at you, then you'll do it. Right. Now I'll try it. I'll try that, but let me check. People do that at church, by the way. You know what? I'll worship, but let's first look around and see if someone else is doing that. You know what? I'll come to the altar and pray, but, you know, I don't see anyone else doing that, so... That person looked at me. You know, there's this thing. That person looked at me. It's almost as good as done. You're not going to do it because you have a fear of someone's perception. Fear does not usually position itself in front of you. Fear positions itself outside of your field of vision. Fear operates from the dark, hidden corners. Fear materializes for just long enough to whisper in your ear negative thoughts that you can't do it. No matter how fast we run, fear's behind us. Our movies taught us that, right? The things that scare us the most, they're always lurking right behind us. That's the first thing you know, that fear positions itself behind us. The second thing you need to know is this, that you need to change positions. We can change positions with fear. As long as you allow fear to follow behind you, you will always be haunted. We need something else to follow after us. We're going to look at a well-known scripture passage. You probably know it, Psalm 23, verse 1. Let's look at this verse together, Psalm 23 and 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Let's keep moving. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Verse 6, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can I tell you something real quick? When the Lord is your shepherd, it changes some things. When the Lord is your shepherd, first of all, you need to answer that question in yourself. Is the Lord my shepherd? Have I allowed him to call the shots in my life? Am I allowing him to lead me? And this is the best way to change positions on fear. Right now, you make the Lord your shepherd. Why? Because he leads you in green pastures. He leads you beside still waters. He restores your soul. He guides in righteous paths. All this stuff sounds good, right? Absolutely. This is the stuff you want.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
You do realize that this is the stuff the drug addict thinks he's getting when he gets the pill. You realize that this is the thing that only God gives, but the person that's going after one night stand thinks that they're going to get. You get it when the Lord is your shepherd. Can I get an amen on that? Is that the truth?
Yeah.
I want to tell you that the Lord, he leads us not just when times are good, but also when times are bad. Because it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When you are going through hard times, the Lord's not like, peace, I'm out of here. He's not turning his back on you. He says that you should fear no evil. Why? Because he is with you. He's with you continually. The worst thing you've ever gone through in life, the Lord was with you. You might not have been aware of it. You might not have known to look for him. But the worst moment in your life, the Lord was there. The terrible thing you're going through right now, I don't mean to make light of your situation, but I do mean to encourage you that the Lord is right there in the middle of it all. The middle of it all. Pause. There's a story in the Bible where there's a boat, right? And there's a big storm and all the disciples are on it and there's one other person on it. Who is it? It's Jesus, and they're worried sick because they're going through the storm. But was Jesus still with them?
Yes,
they were worried sick, but they just needed to find Jesus. When they find Jesus, that's when he steps up and he speaks peace to the storm. Whatever storm you're going through, don't pray that the storm just goes away. Find Jesus in the middle of the storm. That's your answer. Go for that. That's the way to go. Even in the presence of your enemies, you are blessed. He gives a blessed table full of all blessings of an anointed head and an overflowing cup. This is the Lord that we serve. In other words, can we just break it down for you? Keep it simple for Shelton over here. Your life is always better with the Lord as your shepherd. It's always better. You want a better life today? Make him your shepherd today. Then let's look one more time at verse 6. It says what? Surely goodness and love will what? Will follow me all the days of my life. When the Lord is your shepherd, it is no longer fear that is following behind you. You see, fear wants to creep up on you. It wants to lurk. It always wants to be there. It wants you to feel its presence right there. But when the Lord is your shepherd, it's no longer fear that's following after you. What is it? It's the goodness of who? The goodness of God. It's the love of who? The love of God. Everywhere you go, you know what is now behind you? It's the love of God. It's the goodness of God. It's in step behind you everywhere you go. Can I testify to you today? before the Lord became my shepherd, I was terrified about what other people thought. Before the Lord was my shepherd, I would be afraid to try anything. But I want to tell you, the Lord gave me some boldness. Before I allowed the Lord to lead my life, my life was full of the fear of failure. It absolutely was. Now I walk into situations that seem almost guaranteed to fail. But I walk in them and I watch God do miracles. And the other situations I would have never walked into, I walk in, I see the power of God on full display. It's amazing. That's the Lord. He gives miraculous victories into situations that look like guaranteed failures. Absolutely. Before Jesus led me through the valley of the shadow of death, I used to lay awake at night and worry that one day the people I loved would all die and that I'd never see them again. Anybody else have that fear ever? Now I know that I'll see them again. Now I know that I'll see them again because the Lord is my shepherd and also their shepherd. And he says, you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Not only am I going to see them again, I'm going to dwell with them in the house of the Lord forever. You see, when the Lord is your shepherd, fear's not behind you, goodness is. When the Lord's your shepherd, fear's not behind you, love is. Thank you, Jesus. Instead of fear creeping up on you, the goodness of God keeps overtaking me. Instead of fear catching up with me, imagine that she's running for her life through the woods and she's trying to get away from fear. Instead of that scenario, no, it is the love of God that I can't outrun. It always catches me. Always catches me. So where is fear if it's not behind us? Where's fear? I want to tell you, it's time to turn the tables on fear. No longer is fear behind you, but now fear should be in front of you. All right? It's time to face your fear. Now, it is evident from Scripture that God wants you to face your fear. That's kind of creepy, isn't it? God wants you to face your fear. For time's sake, I'm just going to give you one example in the Bible. Israel refused to go into the promised land. Y'all remember this story? I've given you the promised land. Y'all go. And they're like, let's send some spies. And they come back. And then they're like, no, let's not go into the spies. Because there are some scary things in the promised land. There are some giants in there. And we're little dudes. And they will snap us like twigs. There's more than one enemy in there. There are so many things to be afraid of. There could be spiders and snakes in the grass and all kinds of things. I made up one of those, but two of those. But they were scared to death. They would not go into the land God promised. After all they've been through, they let a few fears come in between them and the promised land. You following me? You with me? So God says this. God says, oh, I understand. Let's just forget about it. No. Is that what we say? Yes. Let me tell you, that's what we say sometimes. But God says, okay, Israel, go wander around in the wilderness for another 40 years. And I'm going to raise up a new generation. I will bring this new generation back to this very spot. And I will offer them an opportunity to face the same giants, to face the same fear. Why? Because God wants you to face your fears. God does not want you to turn and run. Right. Now get this. God could have snapped his fingers and made all the giants disappear. He could have snapped his fingers and there's no more walls of Jericho, much less a Jericho. He could have snapped his fingers. There's no battle of Ai. All the battles, he could have been one thing, just snapped his fingers. He could have cleared the promised land of all the enemies, but God did not do that. God wanted them to face the giants. He wanted them to face their fears. Can I tell you the story of David and Goliath is the story of someone who stood up and said, enough is enough. Somebody's got to face this scary giant. All right. And he went out there and defeated him. Can I just tell you something? We don't want to face our fears. In fact, most of our prayers are like this. God, if you could just remove this fear from me and make him go away, that'd be so good. That is like 95% of our fears. And it's understandable. 95% of the way we pray is, God, could you just remove the problem for me? That'd be great. Thank you very much. Right? That's how we go. But that's not how we operated then. That's not how he operates now. He is wanting to raise up a generation that's not afraid of giants. He wants to raise up a generation that the previous generation was worried about divorce, but not this generation. A previous generation was worried that they couldn't overcome, but not this generation. That's you. I'm talking about you. You're the one he wants to raise up. That's what he wants to do. Today I'm telling you that you need to put your fears in front of you. And that sounds uncomfortable because we are pros at keeping them behind us. We are pros at ignoring them. There are so many people that they are on their way to bankruptcy. They're on their way to financial ruin. They keep getting the letters in the mail and they're like, I just can't look at that. Put your fears in front. Oh, but that's uncomfortable. Put your fears in front. But I'll see some of my mistakes if I do that. Put your fears in front of me. But I might have to admit I was wrong in some areas. It's uncomfortable and it's unnerving. But you need to put fear in front. Sometimes we'd rather just let our fears lurk in the background than face them. At times we'd like to act like they don't exist, even though they're actually scaring us to death. Maybe you're like one of the characters in the scary movies that thinks, you know what, I can outrun this. You know, I can outrun this. It won't catch up with me. And if it catches up with me, you know, I'll probably be almost dead and it'll be okay. People think that way. You know, why face it when you can just outrun it? The Word of God says it is time to stop running. It's time to face your fears. Isaiah 52 and 12. You need to key on this verse with me. But you will not leave in haste or go in flight. What is that saying? You don't have to run. You don't have to run. You don't have to, oh my goodness, and run away. You don't have to leave in haste. You don't have to flight. You know, there's two ways you respond to situations, right? You flight or you fight. You don't have to flight anymore. You don't have to run. What does it say? It says the Lord will go before you. Let's just stop right there. So who is in front of us? Fear is in front of us. But is he the only one in front of us?
No.
Hey, Robert, you come right here. You see, the fear that you're facing isn't the only thing in front of you. It says that the Lord will go before you. This is an absolutely good idea. It's a good idea. I was getting scared too. That's why you're here. So guess what? You don't have to run anymore because the Lord is now going before you. When you face your fear, there's actually someone standing between you and your fear. So the fear is not behind you anymore. The fear's in front of you, but you aren't facing it head on. See, now here's another place where people make mistakes, right? I'll just do this myself. I'll just take care of this myself, right? Oh, man, it doesn't work that way. You need the Lord to go before you. In that verse, in Isaiah 52, they were facing an unbelievable Assyrian army that they couldn't number. There was no way they could fight it. So guess what? It was God's will for them not to run and leave Jerusalem, but it was God's will for them to turn and face their fear. But it was also their will God's will to let God be in their life and go before them. And guess what? He brought the victory.
Amen.
Go back to Isaiah 52 and 12. Listen to the back part of this. The Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
So not only is the Lord before you, but the Lord is behind you. With goodness and love following you, the Lord is your rear guard and he is going before you. You know what you ought to say? You ought to say this: you are covered. You are covered by God. You're covered by the blood of the Lamb. You're covered by his love. You're covered by his goodness. You're covered. If we make the Lord our shepherd, let me tell you, fear's going to have a hard time getting to you. He can't get behind you like he used to. He can't get through in front of you like he used to. And guess what? It's now no longer your job to fight it. It is who? The battle is not ours. It is the Lord's. Amen. So you are no longer fighting. Come on, tough guy, show me your muscles. Show me your fighting stance. It's the Lord going before you. And the God of Israel, he's also your rear guard. You're protected.
Yeah.
So let me sum it up for you, all right? You got to change the position on fear. Fear wants to be right here. But you got to change the position on it. It means you got to do something about it today.
Right.
You can't just go, oh, that's a really good sermon, Pastor Chris. I really appreciate it. And then go out and live the same way you lived. No, it means you need to confront some things in your life. It means you need to turn over some tables in your life. Change some things that are set in stone around you. Like, I can never make it. You have that concept in your life. You need to rip that up, tear it up, delete it completely. You got to do that. Change your position on fear. And the number one way you do that is what? You make the Lord your shepherd. When you make the Lord your shepherd, the Lord will go before you. He will be your rear guard. Everywhere you walk, goodness and love will follow. And third, this is the awesome part. This is where you just get to be strong and courageous. You see, that's what you really want to be already, right? That is who, you can't do it before this moment. It's fake before this moment. It's foolhardy before this moment. But when the Lord's your shepherd and he's got your back, then it's time for you to be strong and courageous.
All right.
Then it's time for you to be brave. Then it's time for you to have a little thing we like to call faith. And you just walk out there and you start the business. You walk out there and you have the conversation. You walk out there and you share the gospel. You just declare that you are healed in Jesus' name and start living a life full of happiness. Here's a verse on it, 2 Chronicles 32 and 7. Be strong and courageous. Say it. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for there is greater power with us than with him. I love how it's us versus him. Not only do you have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, the power of the Spirit, the power of the Creator, and but you also got powers in numbers. Even if it's only you and God, that's two. And all he's got is him.
Okay.
Clap your hands if you believe it. You can be seated. Thank you. Thank you, fear. I'm going to ask the musician to come. Have you had enough of being weak? I mean, that ought to be a pretty easy question to answer, right? That ought to be, yeah, I've had enough of that. Have you had enough of crying stupid tears? Sometimes crying, you know, the Bible says godly sorrow brings about repentance, and that's beautiful crying. But there is some crying that's just this repetitive cycle of self-pity. There are some tears that don't get you a single thing. They just depress you and they keep you in a cycle. Have you had enough of those kind of tears? You got to do something about it. Somebody say, do something about it.
Do something about it.
And do it today. Are you tired of running, whatever you're running from, you're tired of it, you're tired of it, then you need to do something about it today.
Right.
Is the Lord your shepherd today? Is he your shepherd? If he's not, do something about it. I'm talking more than I said a prayer 10 years ago, and so I think he's my shepherd. No, is he today actively leading and guiding your life? Yesterday, when you were losing your mind, did you actually turn to the Lord before you went into that cursing rampage where you broke things? Did you really invite the Lord to lead you in that moment? When you got the bad news, how long did it take you to invite the Lord to lead that moment? Oh, let me go here. After God healed the situation, fixed the situation, where you're like, God, you're the best. Talk to you next problem. Oh my goodness. I could preach on that one a little bit. I could preach on that one a little bit, because there are some people, I love to see them come to the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I could also say it like this. I was glad when the Lord said unto you, get here, and you got here. I was glad about that. But there is something that really bothers me in my heart. There are some people, I see them walk through the door, and I went, they must have problems. That's why they came to church today. Oh, I've been there. I felt it. Oh, they must have problems. That's why they came to church today. Do you see the problem in that? Do you see, is that really making the Lord your shepherd? Let's take it away from church. I need you to pray for me. I need you. Oh, absolutely. I'll absolutely pray for you. But have you prayed? Have you prayed? Tell me, what scripture did the Lord give you about this situation? Those are foreign questions to ask Christians nowadays. The Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Somebody get a little Pentecostal with me and quote that with me. The Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. You see, you ought to get a little bit excited about that. And that ought to be our response to the problems. That ought to be our response to the fear. That ought to be our response to the failure. The Bible says it like this. Rejoice not against me, O my enemies, for when I fall, I shall arise. You see, that's not fear, that's victory. Do you realize that we serve a God who went to a cross and he died while everyone laughed at him, but it wasn't over? Do we realize that he literally bled out his blood and breathed no more, only to rise again? Do we understand that? If you are like, oh man, I just don't know if I can handle this, get a load of your Savior. He can do anything. Get a load of the Savior. He has done everything. You get that? You get, oh, but you don't understand. I've got this problem, Peter. I got this problem. You wouldn't understand what I've gone through. No, you don't understand the Savior. You don't understand his great power. You don't understand that he doesn't ever give up.
Amen.
You know, the Lord, it only took him a day. On each day of creation, he's been working on me every day I've been alive. And he's never given up. Past every failure, oh, and Chris Fluid has him. Through past every fear, Chris Fluid has him. Past every sin and temptation, Chris Fluid has him. The Lord of glory has never given up on me. Can I tell you right now, that word's for you right now. He's never given up on you. Never. Not once. I'm going to be open this service for a time of prayer. I want to remind you, we do three things every time we come to Redemption. Proud of these three things. We do them every time. Number one, we all worship together. We did that with that killer praise team earlier. Number two, we received the Word of God together. And there were some costumes and there were some weird videos, but it was the Word of God, and we received that together. And number three, before today's over, we're going to do this third thing, and it is everybody is going to talk to God. You see, that's what prayer is. But when you come today, I want to give you some specific instructions. I want you to come, but I'm going to give you some specific homework. Do not pray for the thing you fear to go away. See, that's what we do already. Some of you are like, oh man, I can't wait to come to the pray and ask God to remove that thing. No, don't ask God to remove that thing today. Do not ask God to remove the giants from your life today. Instead, pray that you want the Lord to be your shepherd. God, you said that you'd lead me by green pastures. You said that you'd lead me beside the still waters. You said that you'd anoint my head with oil. You said that my cup would run over. That's what I want. I want that from the Lord, my shepherd, today. Can you come and pray that today? Come right now and talk to God. Our staff would love to pray with you today. If you want someone to pray with you, here's how you let us know. You just come in the first 2 feet. And when you come into the first 2 feet, it just lets us know you want us to pray with you. Come right now. Don't worry about anybody around you. No one's going to bother you. It's all about you talking to the Lord your shepherd right now. Be strong and courageous. Be full of faith and be bold right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I call on the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is greater than my name. The name of Jesus is greater than the name of cancer. The name of Jesus is greater than bankruptcy. The name of Jesus is greater than divorce. The name of Jesus is greater than any fear. It is greater than any enemy. In the name of Jesus, I call on your name and I ask you to touch every person in this house. Lord, I ask, Lord, that they would face their fear, God, Lord, and that they would put you at the head of their life and that you would go before them and that you, Lord, would be their rear guard. Lord, that they would feel your presence, that they would have that boldness, that courage, God, that comes from you. I pray it all in the name of Jesus. Let's continue to talk to God. Hallelujah.
For more information about redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.